God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 13th day of April, 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. Special music from Melissa Coberly, and then the sermon from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, as he continues with part two of In the Lion's Den. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Coberly. Appreciate that. Pretty song. Well, we're back in 1 Peter chapter 5, part 2. If you missed this morning, we did part 1 of the Lion's Den. And we talked about wake up. And it's time to wake up once again. Wake up. Satan is coming after you. And it's a true statement. He really is. And we need to be aware of that and know what is taking place. And so now we want to kind of take a look at really how to do that. We kind of warned you about who Satan was and some of the tactics he likes to use. And I want to kind of now kind of really focus on having a sure defense. So let's stand once again in honor of God's word. We'll reread those two verses in 1 Peter chapter 5. Once again, give us a focal point for our message. It says, be sober, be vigilant, and then it says, because. And this is what we discussed this morning. Because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Lord, we come to you now. We pray once again for your power, your strength, Lord, to deliver your word. May it truly resound in our hearts and our minds, Lord, not just tonight, but throughout the week. And Lord, may you be lifted up and glorified through it. And may Satan's, Lord, distractions be put away as he works so hard to do just that, Lord. And may we be able to receive your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm naturally not making this statement to offend anybody in any way. I do not know who was crying. It could have been an adult upstairs, so I really don't know. But wasn't it interesting that as we're preaching about Satan, how the distractions were? I mean, seriously. And I tell you what, I was talking to staff at lunch, and about every time I mention anything about spiritual warfare, something weird happens. And I said, man, what do you think will happen tonight, Brother Len? He said, the ceiling will fall in. Well, I'm glad I'm over here, so I should be okay. But it really is true. Satan will do everything he can. I guarantee you there are some people not here tonight who purposed in their heart to be here tonight because Satan did something. And they gave in to whatever that was. So the plan was there, whether it was this morning or tonight. But I'm telling you, Satan does not want you to know that he is alive and well. He doesn't want you to be aware that he's working and methodically working to destroy your life. I guarantee that's not what he wants. He wants you to go on thinking everything's temporal and everything's just kind of physical and it's not so much spiritual. And we just go through our daily routine because as soon as we wake up and as soon as we realize the danger, we can do something about it. But as long as we're sitting in that dormant state and we're kind of in ignorance to what's taking place and we look at things from our own perspective, I tell you what, he has a heyday with us. He really does. Satan does not like us. He wants to destroy us. But praise God. Praise the Lord. We have a way out. I'm so glad God didn't just tell us, hey, you have an adversary. He hates your guts. He wants to kill you. Good luck. You know, aren't you glad the Bible doesn't do that? You know, but God says, no, here's what you do. And we want to look at that tonight and some key words. We look at part two. And if you missed part one, I can just say, you know, probably get it on the internet tonight or tomorrow or later on this week and get that. But we're going to jump right into the second part of the because. And you look at it, it starts out with two words. He says, be sober and be vigilant. And I really believe our defense in fighting against Satan are really wrapped up in basically three words here. Sober, vigilant, and you go down in verse 9, resist. I want to talk about those three words real quickly tonight because I think they're very important. First of all, it says, be sober. Now, if you, every time I think about that word, I think of one thing. Don't get drunk. Okay, let's just be honest. The word has that connotation, and it does even right here. The connotation does have a connotation of do not be drunk with wine, as the Bible says. Do not give yourself to alcohol. But there's a reason for that. The basic purpose here isn't, hey, just don't be drunk. There's a general purpose that's, hey, you need to be sober. This is the meaning. Do not allow your senses, your judgment, your perception to be affected in any way. Primarily that has happened often through alcohol. We know that. That when somebody drinks, and if you've ever been around a drunk, you know what I'm talking about. They're uninhibited, and you know they don't think straight, and they don't perceive straight, and you know that's why the police, you know, pull you over, and we don't want to know who you are. And they say, walk the line, you know, and the person can't even, you know, walk a straight line, and they're kind of bobbly, and they don't think straight, and they don't act straight. What happens? They're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. You know, that's why they get in wrecks. That's why they make bad decisions. That's why they're there. Why? Because they're not in a sober mind. We say, well, preacher, that's great, but we don't drink here. Praise God, we're fundamental Baptists. So that doesn't apply to me, but there is this implication that goes further than that. Soberness actually here means to be temperate or abstinent. It is a person who is temperate, self-disciplined, self-controlled, or abstains from those things that may harm them. So beyond just drinking, it really, when the apostle here says, hey, be sober, why? Because your adversary, the devil, says, hey, keep yourself in a state of mind that, guess what? Nothing can so get in your way that Satan can use it as an advantage against you. And the only way to do that is to make sure that we abstain from some things. We practice abstinence. They did a study on some kids, and you may have heard of it, but they took these kids in when they were young, and they put them in this room, and they put a marshmallow there in a little bowl, and purposely walked out. But they said, listen, I got to run an errand. And I tell you what, when I get back, if you want the marshmallow, go ahead and eat it. But I tell you what, if you'll just wait, when I get back, I'll give you two. And they just stepped out, and they just kind of had a video camera on these kids. I wish I could have seen the video clips. You know, you can imagine, they said, I mean, kids would be sitting there, these 4 or 5 year olds, man, they're fidgeting, you know, and someone would get right up next to it, you know, and they're touching the little marshmallow, and they're smelling it. They're going through this whole routine, because, man, they want the marshmallow. And they did this survey, and sure enough, as you know, some of those kids, I mean, they pounced on it. I mean, it was marshmallow time, it's all over their face, you know, and they're like, yeah. Now, the instructor said you could, but if you wait, I'll give you more. They followed these kids. The whole purpose of the survey is to find out how this would affect them. They followed these kids, and without giving you all the details, basically came down to this. The large majority of the kids who refused to abstain, who couldn't wait, they were the bullies in schools. They got bad grades. What's interesting to me, they got caught up in more addictions and vices than the kids who at that early age could say no. You know what I see here from Peter? He said, listen, you have an enemy coming after you. And as this enemy is coming down and bearing after you, and he wants to take you out, understand this. You must be in a constant state of soberness. In other words, you must learn to abstain or discipline yourself from some activities and things that could be used to ensnare you. That's what he's saying here. You know, so often we get caught up in things and activities and so forth that maybe in themselves, not always, but maybe we'll just take that degree, in themselves, are not wrong, but they lead us into other sins. We often call it the doctrine of separation. We often preach about that, and you'll hear us saying stuff like, man, don't do that, don't go there, and you're saying, well, why, preacher? And of course, the big thing right now is gambling, you know, in the state of Oklahoma. Everybody's gambling. Well, not everybody, right? Born-again Christians, we're not gambling, but people are out there, and you're like, well, preacher, where in the Word of God does it say, thou shalt not gamble? You know, and we're up here warning and giving you all the arguments of why you shouldn't, but let me just help you with that. You know, why don't you want to gamble? Where do you have to go? I guarantee it's not a godly place you're going to gambling, okay? You're not walking into this holy atmosphere. You're walking into, if we could say it, the lion's den. And everything there is to eat you up, as we talked about this morning. It's his whole goal. So really, when we talk about soberness, let's take it in a broader sense, not just don't be drunk, but don't be involved in any activity that would so blur your perception, that would so blind you, that Satan could easily sneak up on you. Which goes along with the second word, vigilant. Powerful word. Vigilant, used throughout the Word of God. Interestingly enough, when you find this word vigilant, really every other place in the Word of God, it is the word watch. It is the word watch. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. He said, listen, first of all, keep yourself in a sober mind. Abstain from those things. Avoid those things that would lead anywhere close to the lion's den. Avoid anything that would get you close to him. Because as I said this morning, I don't know about you, but when I see danger, man, I like to avoid it. I like to avoid it. That's why I like Job 1:1. Bible says Job eschewed evil. Man, he saw it. He went to the opposite side. He said, man, if the lion's over here, I'm over here. Too many of us as Christians, though, we kind of like to pet it. We kind of like to play with it a little bit, you know, and kind of like to tease it or taunt it. Next thing you know, it's pouncing on us. We're like, what's happened? Until it's happened, we got too close. And that's why our defense becomes very simple. He says, hey, walk around in a state of soberness where you're abstaining from things, even some things that maybe you could do, but you want to stay so far away of anything that Satan's involved in. And then secondly, you want to watch. Now, I looked up that word watch, and interesting, it had a very strong word that went with it. It was the word alert. The word alert. What jogged my memory in the time that I spent doing some character counsel with Brother Gerald, and we went through some of the character traits and so forth. Alertness was one of the ones that they went through. So I kind of pulled some of that out and looked some of that up. And it was interesting to me because in the definition of the word alert, there were some definitions given through the character study that I thought was very enlightening. Allow me to share with you some things about alertness that help us defend against Satan. Number one, they said alertness is recognizing opportunities and dangers which others overlook. Think about that. Alertness is recognizing dangers and opportunities which others overlook. I immediately thought of that young girl that when the tsunami was coming, she was on the beach with her parents. Remember that story? And how she saw, she remembered paying attention in class because she was alert. And she heard about what a tsunami was, and on vacation, when she saw the waves going back, and the ocean going back, she said, hey, Mom, Dad, this is a tsunami. And literally, they say, nobody on that beach was hurt. I mean, her very words and her very alertness to the dangers of warning people saved them. Wow. Apply that in the spiritual realm. What would happen if more born-again believers were alert to the fact that people are dying and going to hell? And that we had the opportunity to watch and to see the dangers of the direction that people are heading. And in our alertness said, hey, wait, don't go down that road. Why? Satan's waiting for you. You're heading for the lion's den and it's going to kill you. It's going to eat you up. He said, not only that, alertness is acting quickly upon signals of danger. Acting quickly upon signals of danger. You may remember this in the book of Acts where the Apostle Paul's nephew came and warned him. He'd heard that 40 men had banded together. And they said they were going to fast until they could kill the Apostle Paul. And he went and told the chief guard, protected him. Alertness. When you see the warning signs. I almost hate to say this because my wife works at a nursing home and she's not going to like this illustration. But over in Russia, Kuban actually, it used to be a part of Russia there. But there was a nursing home facility. And the fire alarm went off once and the guard sat there. Went off twice and the guard sat there. On the third time, finally the guard got up. And by the time the guard got up and went out, 62 elderly people died. There were three alarms. He didn't move until the third. And I thought about that and I said, you know, so often I believe Satan gives away his position. And you kind of smell him, you kind of hear him, you kind of see him coming. And we kind of sit there and whatever we're doing in our life, and we just kind of sit there saying, we're okay, we're okay. Preacher, we're just fine. And I'm here to tell you, no. You know what vigilance is? When you see any sign of danger, any side, get up and go. Man, don't stay. I think about our families. Man, I think I'll tell you, one of the things that burdens my heart is to watch our families and you'll see things in your kids' lives. And it's almost like as parents, we just kind of, we hope it goes away. You know, I've been there, done that, you know. Well, I just hope that goes away, you know. And instead of when you see it young, and I remember sometimes, you know, people would think, I know that Brenda and I were so mean raising our kids. You know, but we would see the smallest thing and we'd be pouncing on them, you know. You know, and I mean, they just maybe didn't say yes, sir, quick enough, you know. Or they didn't respond quick enough to pick up the toys, you know. Here comes big old dad. Okay, well, little old dad. You know, I'm coming in there. Okay, kids, you're in big trouble, you know. And they're being disciplined. And I know sometimes guests are sitting there going, wow, man, he is so strict. But I'll tell you why. You know what I notice? The opposite of that is when there's these danger signs taking place inside of our homes, and families just kind of turn their head or ignore them. And then one day, boom, they blow up. I mean, I just read a couple days ago, and I didn't catch the young man's name, but they were doing a special on a 16-year-old, and he was adopted by some parents from Bulgaria, so that caught my attention. And just as a little bitty kid, but he always just had this anger problem. And they tried to help him, try to deal with it, but it just kept getting worse. And in his teenage years, he was being bullied and picked on, and he watched the Columbine situation take place. And from that point when he saw it, he says, I'm going to do that. And he began planning a Columbine in his own school. Praise the Lord, though, his parents, no lie, when the Columbine took place, the mom and dad watched it on TV. They looked at each other and said, our son could do that. And from that point on, they began to watch him very closely. They began to see him get very angry at kids at school. And they began to intervene and try to counsel him and help him. And finally, one day, because they were watching, because they were alert, they came across some stuff and immediately took action. And they sent him out for counseling, and they removed him from the home, and they got things taken care of. And this day now, he's a, you know, a better young man, and he's gone through all that. But literally, he was going to go in and just start killing his classmates. And the first line of warning, the mom and dad, had they not done anything, we would have another repeat over and over and over again. And I wonder how many more times we're going to see that. Why? Because we're not alert. Now, folks, that's a physical situation. You know what scares me even more is in a spiritual realm. Yeah, we're watching our young people. We're watching our next generation come up and we're seeing things about them. Instead of dealing with it, we're like, no, I'm just gonna ride it out, preacher. Just gonna hope they get through it. No. Don't you understand that Satan's on the other door waiting, just hoping you let them walk out? And as you just ignore it, I'm gonna tell you something, he's not gonna ignore it. And he will pounce as quick as he can. I'm telling you, I'm talking from the time that they start getting hooked up with friends that you know are not godly or not spiritual, and they don't have the same mindset. I mean, you better be jumping in there right away saying, well, wait a minute, let's talk about this. Hey, let's go a different direction. Don't wait 4 years down the line till they're best of friends, and suddenly your daughter's leaving at 16 or 17 or whatever it is, or your son's checking out, and all of a sudden they got bad attitudes, and they won't listen to your instruction, but you had warnings 4 years ago. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know what alertness is, vigilance is? It is looking at our lives. It's looking at our families. And yes, people are going to look at us and say, man, you're just too strict. Man, but man, man, when the warning alarms go off, do something. Do something. And I believe they're there if we're vigilant. I believe there's signs. As a matter of fact, you know, in every one of those school killings, if you paid attention to any one of them, from Virginia Tech to Columbine and all in between, they've gone down and done studies. You know, every single time they said the signs were there. Every single time. The guy that went off at Virginia Tech, you probably saw the story like everybody else. I mean, he had psychiatric problems that were amazing. The guy shouldn't have even been in the school. And they're like, well, we'll just make it work. And I'm thinking, no! I mean, seriously, would you allow your wife to get in your car if every time you got in the car, the brakes didn't work? Some of you are going, yes, preacher, I would. I saw some of you nodding your head going, hey, yeah, that's great. But come on, there's no way. You know, if you knew it was a problem, you're like, honey, no, don't take this, you know. And we've had problems before, and I always switch vehicles with my wife. I'm like, I'd rather be the one in this situation than have my wife in it. Why? I want to be vigilant. See, vigilant is being alert to the dangers. There's a couple of things under alertness there. Alertness, they said, is anticipating the actions of those who seek to harm us. Woo! Anticipating the actions of those who seek to harm us. I used to play a lot of chess. I don't play anymore, so no, I don't want to play you. But I do know how to win at chess. And that is, you don't think one play ahead. You think several plays ahead. Matter of fact, the best chess players are the ones who think the farthest ahead. But one of the great dangers is this. You don't just think about what you're doing. You think about what the other guy is doing. For every move, you're thinking, saying, okay, I'm going to move this rook or this pawn. Or I'm going to move my queen here. And when I do that, he's going to do this. Or he's going to do this. Or he's going to do this. And so then I'm going to counter with this. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. You say, preacher, you're blowing my mind right now. Yeah. Hey, welcome up to vigilance. Yeah. Wake up to vigilance, folks. See, vigilance isn't just sitting there waiting for things to happen. I think sometimes in our Christian realm, we're waiting for something to happen and then we're going to act. You know, or should I say, react. You know, and as soon as, you know, the family blows up, the sin blows up, we go, oh, guess we better do something now. Let me help you. That is not the time to start doing something. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is looking at your own life, looking at those that are under you, and you begin looking down ahead. You know, I've told this story. I've been here long enough, you know, when the boys started getting to an age where they were going to like girls, and praise God they like girls, amen? You know, isn't it funny you have to say that today in America? You know, praise God, you know. But they're doing the normal thing, and I hope all of our young men grow up to like girls, amen? And the girls like guys, because that's the biblical, spiritual thing. And if not, there's a spiritual problem. Let me help you right away. There's a spiritual problem. But, you know, when that happened, I remember talking to them years. And I've told some of you this. I was like, hey, how do you deal with the dating thing? You know, and we were up in Illinois, and a family pulled Brendan and I aside, and especially Brendan, were asking them the same thing. We said, listen, we started early. We started when they kind of didn't like girls. You know, when girls were still yucky. You know, and we're like, okay, one day you're going to like girls. No, we're not. They got cooties, Dad. Yeah, they have a lot of them, and don't you ever forget that, boy. But, you know, in that, we just started. We said, listen, you're not going to date like a normal teen in America. You say, what do you mean, Dad? Well, I mean, you're going to be able to be with girls and go out with girls and in groups and stuff like that. But we don't want you to go knock on the door, pick her up, you and her get in your car and go somewhere. I'm going to help you. That's never happening. You know, while you're in this home, while you're in high school, that's not happening. And we started that real young. So, you know, when they turned 16, they didn't go, okay, Dad, we're 16. Can we have a girl to date? Didn't happen. I mean, they didn't even ask. We started way ahead. I know Brother Leonard, I think, preached on dancing this morning, right? And I heard you had some good, never mind. Anyways, some good moves there, but we won't get into that. Same thing, when it came to the prom and so forth, the boys never came and said, hey, Dad, can we go to the prom? You say, why? We dealt with those issues before they ever came up. I mean, before they ever arrived, years before there was even an option. They came to it and they knew the option, they knew the answer, and they went on their way. We didn't fight, argue. There wasn't a knockdown, dragout. There wasn't a why me? Are you trying to destroy my life? None of that. Why? We anticipated the dangers. We tried to look and say, what did we go through? What did we see? What's out there? And what do we want? And as you anticipate, and listen, the more you anticipate and think ahead, guess what? The more blessed you're going to be. And you'll be on the offensive instead of the defensive. I'm telling you so much. Christians, I said this morning, we are too much on the defensive. We really are. And we're running for our lives. We ought to be charging. I mean, think about it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? That's right. I mean, we got God. We got all the power. And we're in the corner in a fetal position going, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. I'm thinking we ought to be standing up saying, no, no, hey, get away from me, Satan. Get away from me. You say, why is that not happening? I tell you what, we're not as vigilant as we need to be. One last thing he said about vigilance that I thought was appropriate. Alertness is visualizing the consequences of subtle dangers. Boy, is that so true. Like a King Hezekiah who invited the enemy to come in and said, hey, look at all what I got. And they said, looks good. I'll come take it. Great Old Testament story. You got to go back and read it. You know, it says, just didn't think ahead. You don't show the enemy all your good stuff. It's like showing a thief. Hey, yeah, this is where I keep my money. Yeah, just come on in. Yeah, no, we're normally gone between the hours of 5 and 8. Yeah, so if you want to come in and take, none of you would do that. And yet we often do that in the spiritual realm to Satan. We don't think about the consequences. We don't visualize and think ahead to what's taking place, and we end up in danger. Listen, I'm here to tell you, folks, we know that there's pleasure in sin for a season. The problem is we've forgotten the consequences. And I'm telling you, Satan is selling us a bill of lies. We talked about his subtlety today. We talked about how he appears as an angel of life. And I'm telling you, he will give you a bill. You ever been sold something and it wasn't what you thought it was going to be? But the salesman made it sound really, really good. And so you're sitting there and they're going through the whole spiel and you're like, wow, where do I sign? And they go, now, if you don't, I love this one, if you don't buy today, you can never get it again. You know what? Really, my spirit is, next time I hear that, and I do, I'm going, I think I'll wait. You know what I found out? I can get it again. And normally cheaper. It's weird. But we buy into that sales, and sometimes in the spiritual realm, the same thing. Hey, if you don't experience it now, for our young people, sow your wild oats now. Get it over with, and you'll be okay when you're older. Wrong. Wrong. You'll pay the consequences of it when you're older. Just do this now. Don't think about it. Just do it. And what's the old saying? It's easier to get forgiveness than permission. We like to joke about that. You know, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission, preacher. But I'm telling you, let me tell you the danger of that. Consequences. Consequences. You have an enemy, Satan, who hates your guts. He wants you dead. And if we don't become more alert to what's taking place, I'm telling you, he will pick us off one at a time. Come on. Every year at Central Baptist Church, don't we lose someone? I'm not talking about the sinners who move, okay? I'm almost beyond that. I'm not talking about the wicked people that have moved to Texas. No, but I'm serious. Every year, you could probably list somebody that was coming faithfully. Not that God moved, but I mean, was coming faithfully. And all of a sudden, they're not as faithful as they used to be. Now, let me tell you what's happened. They've not been as sober as they need to be. They've not been as vigilant in their Christian walk as they need to be. And as they begin to get away from the pack, but think about this. We're kind of a flock. If they begin to get away from the flock and they kind of get out on the outskirts. Once again, we're talking about a lion. That's the analogy here. That's what he gave us this morning. If you're a lion, you're jumping in the middle of the herd? No! You're taking the one on the outskirts. You're taking the one not paying attention that's eating the grass over here. Keeps kind of meandering on his way. Next thing you know, he looks up and the herd has moved. And the lion says, hello, friend. And you see that in the Christian realm where we become less alert to spiritual things. And suddenly we're moving away. I've often used the analogy of, you know, the new guy that gets saved and he's sitting in the first two rows. You must be new believers. You know, then after, you know, a couple months, you know, they're growing. And all of a sudden they're in the middle. Then they're in the back. Then they're in the balcony. Sorry, Joseph, you sinner. And then from there, you know, they're in the back. Now, I know that's kind of a funny illustration we've used before. But I will tell you this, visually, sometimes it's really true. I'm serious. Most of us are creatures of habits. That's why I tell you, when you move to a different pew, you got to let the preacher know. Because I'm looking for you in a certain general area, you know. For me, this is the left side of people. You guys always sit here. I mean, really, and when you don't, you blow my mind. You've moved a couple times. I've had to hunt Mike down one or two times going, what are you doing? You know why? It's not weird. I mean, it's weird to me. You're right here. I mean, I can kind of tell you. They're going to be here. They're going to be here. And same with the teens. The teens sit over here. I mean, I just know that. Why? We're creatures of habits. So when those habits change, you know, not for a service to do, but all of a sudden, it starts changing. They're moving. Believe it or not, that does tell me something. And literally, I've watched it go, boop, 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 bye-bye. And you go, wow, what happened? And that person, you want me to tell you the weird thing about it? When we go visit them, no lie. Brother Lynn, Brother Scott can give you the exact information. Hi, hey, listen, we've been missing you, so-and-so. I mean, we just love you, been missing you. Is everything okay? Oh, we're doing great. Oh, no, preacher, things are fine. Hey, listen, have we offended you in any way? And they'll go, no, really. No, we're just busy. Yeah, okay, well, you know, it's just been a while since we've seen. Yeah, I know, but hey, God and I are like this. It would blow your mind how often we hear that. And I know as a minister, I'm sitting there going, Okay. Well, listen, I'm just concerned for your family because you used to be involved in the different ministries and outreaches, and now we don't. Hey, preacher, really, it's okay. You're fine. And then they're gone. It literally happens that way. You say, how could, you mean preacher, you went to them and they still left? Yeah. How could that happen? They weren't vigilant in their Christian walk. And Satan came in and said, come on over here. I got something for you, bud. Come on. Yeah, he's fine. Come on over here. By not being sober and by not being vigilant, God began to lose that hold on them as they began to walk away. Now, we're not talking about losing your salvation. You know you can't do that. But all of a sudden, they found themselves in a dangerous area. And that's why he says, whom resist? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Why? For as much as you and I know, we know without a doubt and we understand this thing, that our brethren have experienced the exact same things. Let me tell you the third thing you need to do. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. You need to walk around sober. You need to walk around with a temperate, abstinent mindset. You need to walk around alert to Satan's devices, his wiles, as we talked about today. And you need to walk around resisting everything to do with, are you ready? Evil. I mean, seriously, we need to get back to resisting evil and walking in faith. Standing in the faith. Ephesians 6 is very clear. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Four times in about four verses, verse 11 to 14, it says stand, withstand, stand, stand. In fact, Berlin brought a message on that. Stand, 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 stand. Resist the devil and stand right smack in your place. But you know the problem is? We're not resisting enough. Now, I'm serious. We don't resist enough. Sin just looks too tantalizing. It looks too much fun. And it's too enjoyable for us. And we'd rather get real close to it instead of resist. Before long, it's taking us over. You say, well, how do I do that, preacher? I'll tell you how you do it. You know what you believe. You get into the Word of God. You study the Word of God. You learn the Word of God. And you stand in what you know. And you don't let anybody remove you. And any type, I'm talking any type of evil that comes around you, you do everything in your power to resist it. Why? Because you know there's an enemy and he wants to kill you. Well, how will you resist? He gives us great information. Look at the last part of verse 9. I love this aspect. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith? Why? Look at this. Knowing or understanding that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That is so powerful. Peter stops. He says, listen, I know Satan's roaring lion. He's powerful. He's strong. He's wise. He's the beguiler. He's the angel of life. He's that old serpent. He's all these things. He's fierce. He's angry. He's evil. And you say, how can we overcome that? But you can't. He says, but how? Hey, don't you remember? Your brethren have gone through this and they've accomplished it. Can I remind you, there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Can I remind you, everybody is going through the exact same thing. Do you ever feel all alone? I mean, like, nobody's going through what you're going through? Beware, it's a tactic of Satan. No, seriously. We've all been there. You've all been there thinking, nobody understands, nobody knows how I'm feeling, nobody's experiences. Whoa, whoa, back up. It's common. There's nothing that you will experience that somebody else has not experienced already. There's nothing that you will go through that another believer hasn't gone through, and probably multiple believers. Multiple. You say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. I lost my parents. Everybody will one day. Yeah, you don't understand just the what I have to deal with my past. A lot of people have to deal with that. Preacher, you don't get what I... You don't understand. You know how you can resist the devil? Guess what? Ooh, this is great. Because other people have done it. Other people have gone down this road. Other people have been oppressed, attacked by the roaring lion. Had the subtlety, had the angel of life appear. And by standing fast in this book and in their faith in the Word of God, they just stood there saying, no, I'm not going to be moved. I'll be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. By doing that, guess what? Oh, it's worked! It's worked. What? If they can do it, are you ready? I can do it. Now, I love it. I love seeing our widow's row. Jared and Mary, we probably need to talk. These are actually the parents of widow's row. What's that? Resident assistants at the Bible college? Resident assistants of widow's row. You know? And they sit together. You say, why? Well, for one, they've all been through the same thing. You know what I love them? I love to look out and see them standing fast in their faith every single week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. What are you saying, preacher? That's what the Bible's talking about right there. Guess what? They've done it. What's that mean? When you're at that place, because normally the men die first. Ladies, when you get there, guess what? You can do it. You see what I'm saying? You can do it. Why? They've done it. They've done it. You got some people sitting out here, been through some horrific situations. Lost loved ones, whether it's been kids, other family members, and yet each week they come and they worship Almighty God. And sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, but they do it. Why? Because they know other people have done it before. And you can look around, and I can look around and see the different funerals that we've had, the different tragedies, the cancer that we've had in our church, the sickness that we've had. And you're like, preacher, how will I ever make it through it? Hey, it's going to be tough. Man, it's going to be hard. You're not going to think you can make it some days, but hey, look out here. Others have done it. Well, what's that mean to me, preacher? That's not me. What it means is you can. You don't have to be defeated. You can stand up in your face saying, hey, God, you and I, whatever happens, we're going through this together. That's a great encouragement. By the way, you know why you ought to be in the house of God? Because you won't know those stories unless you're in church. Really, you'll never understand that unless you're in the house of God. And you see those things taking place. You see other family members struggling in similar areas. I know this may surprise you, but sometimes Brenda and I don't get along. Did you know that? Yeah, usually when she's wrong, we do not get along. She's looking at me, isn't she? Tell me when she stops. I mean, it's true. You think, well, no, preacher, you don't understand. You know, just me and my wife, we have problems. And who doesn't? There's not a married couple here that doesn't have a problem sometime. But you know what? Man, we love each other to death. Man, we're still married. We plan to still be married 20 years from now. I can't wait for my 50th. And by the way, I want a big party. Yeah, 50th anniversary, I want a big party. You say, well, if you make it 50 years, you deserve a big party. You say, well how are you going to make it, preacher? I'll tell you how I'm going to make it. I've seen other couples, and I've watched them go through different struggles, and they made it. Well, how'd they make it? They stood fast in this book. They went into the Word of God, went into God and said, hey, we can make it. Listen, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, tell me what Peter said. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Always looking. Oh, but whom resist steadfast in the faith. Knowing this, oh, that your brother before you, guess what? They made it. What's that mean? You can do it. Listen, there is a lion's den, and there is a lion, and he's coming after all of us. The fact of the matter is he's coming. But if we will take these principles from here in Ephesians chapter 6 and begin to apply them in their lives, I'm telling you, listen, we don't have to be another casualty. We don't have to be another YouTube video of a lion attacking somebody. Okay? We don't have to be involved in any of that. We can stand firm and say, hey, by the grace of God, I'm still here today. Because there's no temptation taking me but such as common to man. But God will with the temptation what? Provide a way of, what's that word? Escape. Woo! Aren't you glad to know that? You mean, preacher, whatever I'm going through right now, there's a way out? Yes, there is. You said, how? Whom resist steadfast in the faith, and God will see you through it. Now, I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what's coming at you. Maybe Satan's in your face right now, hitting you with everything he's got. Maybe he's subtly trying to deceive you. I don't know. But this I know, and this I believe. If we'll stay sober, if we'll be alert, be vigilant in what we're doing, and if we'll just resist, we'll just stand on the faith and on the Word of God, I'm telling you this, we will win the battle. We will win the day. And we'll come out victorious and stronger, and God will do great things in our life. Why? Because the people he was writing this to, I failed to tell you this morning, were getting ready to die. They were getting ready to die. Oh no, this wasn't some nice church in Oklahoma. This wasn't some Ponca City church that nobody threatened you when you walked in the door, and nobody's worried about going home tonight. No one's going to probably knock on your door and pull you out because you went to church or because you have a Bible. No, this was a group of Christians who are in the era of Christianity, when Nero himself was beginning to say, let's do something about these guys. This is a group of Christians that were going through that time when persecution was beginning to build and great death was getting ready to take place. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter, who was watching it take place visibly in front of him and could see what was coming ahead, saying, hey, hang on, folks. It's going to heat up, but guess what? You're going to win. Just stand fast in your faith. As they took these believers, and they began to take them into times of inquisition even later on. And they began to ask them to deny their faith. And they refused. They refused. And they did things that are difficult to talk about in a church setting. Difficult to talk about what they did to their bodies. And they faced the ultimate death. Understanding this. That by standing firm and denying that they would ever give up on Jesus Christ, there was a better place waiting for them with greater rewards. And they did that. Now, folks, I tell you that because we're not facing that, at least right now. And if they could stand firm, watching their kids put to death, their spouses put to death, and them put to death, and say, I'm standing on my faith. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe in this book. And I will not move. And they could face that. Guess what? You and I can face whatever we're going through. We really can. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. And we thank you and praise you for the warning in your word, Lord, of this enemy that's coming to get us. Lord, I do not know all the scenarios happening in the individual lives of our family members, Lord. But I'm very much aware that we have an enemy who is seeking to destroy Central Baptist Church. And Lord, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, if he could destroy some before we get to our new property, and man, the great renewal and refreshing and great opportunity that you're giving us, Lord, I know without a shadow of a doubt, he will take them out. He's already done it to a few families, Lord. So Lord, I pray for the families that are here tonight, Lord, that you'd begin to do a great work in their life. Lord, that you'd open up our eyes to spiritual things. That, Lord, you'd help us to abstain from those things that are leading us closer away from you. That we'd be more alert to the wiles of Satan, to the dangers at our head. And, Lord, that no matter what comes our way, that we will resist the devil with everything that is in us, Lord. Believing and understanding, Lord, that we will be victorious because your word says so. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you for your word and for the encouragement that it brings. So strengthen our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.